But there's a word from the Lord, y'all. There's a word from the Lord. As many of you all know that we are in a series titled First Things First, Seeking the Kingdom of God. And so our guiding scripture for this year comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And we know that scripture very well. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. That when you look at that text, it's Jesus speaking, our Lord and our Savior. And really he's talking to the disciples, all those that are listening, about this whole thing about possessions and about treasures, about material things, about clothing, about food, the stuff that he says that the people in this world that they worry about. They spend a whole lot of time thinking about these things. But let's be honest. It's not just the people out there in the world that think about these things. It's us too. And we need to make sure as the people of God that our focus is on God and his kingdom as a priority. We talk about the kingdom of God and what it is. The kingdom of God is the visible demonstration of the comprehensive rule of God over all things. And simply it means that God, he rules and he super rules. In the world we live in, sometimes it may not look like it, but you have to know that God is large and God is in charge. But the question we have to ask ourselves, do we allow God to rule and to super rule over our lives personally and individually? Is he the priority of your life? I said on last week that life is kind of like this. It's like a plate when we go to the buffet style restaurant. That as we go through that buffet, we decide what we're going to put on our plates. And life is a whole lot like that. Now, there are some things in life we don't determine what's on our plate. Some things come whether we want it to or not. We ask God to help us to deal with those things. But by and large, we determine what's going to be on our plates. So I ask you again this week, what's on your plate? Have you decided to offer your plate up to God and surrender to him and say, God, whatever is on my plate, I'm allowing you to put on my plate. What's most important to you? Is he really the priority of your life in every area of your life? And so this sermon series, it simply invites all of us to think about, to consider, is God our priority? Are his ways our priority? Is the way we live our, is it his, do we live the way he wants us to live? And so we examine our priorities to make sure they line up with God's priorities, not only in 2025, but every day of our lives. And so last week we talked about the priority of worship, that we were made to worship God, y'all. Do you not know that? You were made to worship God. But I think sometimes we don't understand what worship really looks like. That oftentimes we think worship, the only thing about worship is what happens in the four walls of the church, that we praise God, that we shout and we dance and we ought to do all that. He deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. And so that's a part of corporate worship. That's what it looks like when we come together, that we serve the unseen God that's in this place even now. But man, worship is so much more than that. That worship is a lifestyle. It's how you walk and how you talk, as you live, as you show up in this world. All of that has to deal with worship. We look at Micah chapter 6, where it talks about worship, and God is saying to the people in that day, listen, I'm tired of you. You know, you're trying to give me some calves and some oxen, and you're trying to bring these sacrifices to me, but you don't worship me with your heart. That worship is more than just about the bowing of the head. It's about the bowing of the heart before God. And God, and I've been really been studying this thing about worship. And worship is about a vertical relationship with God. But as I study out worship throughout the Bible, it has a whole lot to do with how we treat one another too. That we can't say, Lord, I love you and I worship you, but I don't treat my brother or my sister right. That we can't bring that kind of worship to God. God says, leave that stuff at the altar. Be reconciled to your brother or your sister. Worship is about how we treat one another. So turn with me in your Bibles. Turn with me in your Bibles, y'all, to your electronic devices, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm glad you're here. Amen. 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 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, it reads as thus. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. This morning I want to encourage our hearts from the thought, the priority of our walk. The priority of our walk. And so for the last several years, y'all, listen, I'm in this habit of like keeping a few single dollar bills in the center of the console of my vehicle, of my truck, and I keep those dollar bills there, y'all. So in case I'm driving down the street and I go into an intersection, and of course you find those folks, you know, they're holding the sign up, you know, they can you spare some change? Can you give me a little something? And so it's easy for me to reach into the console and get out a couple of dollars and to hand it out the window. I'm talking about dollar bills now. Inflation, y'all, inflation. They want the soft stuff now. They want the soft stuff. And so I'm not saying that to lift me up by any means. I know God has been good to me. And if I can express the love of God just by giving somebody $2 or $3, y'all, that means nothing. It's just my expression of the love of God to strangers, to people that I don't even know. And as I hand them the money, I say, God bless you. So I want to ask you a question this morning. They hold up the signs to say, can you spare some change? I want to ask you, can you spare some change this morning? Now listen to me. I'm not talking about maybe the dimes, the quarters, the nickels. I'm not talking about the dollar bills. When I ask you, can you spare some change? I'm asking, can you spare some personal change? Because you have been born again, born from above. Can you spare some personal change so that people around you, not only are we trying to give them physical bread, but we're trying to offer to them the bread of life that can change their lives radically. But it requires you and me. It requires us changing so that other people can experience the change of God. You know, if we allow the world to mold us into its image, then what effect do we really have on the kingdom of God? What are we really doing to bring people into a relationship with Jesus? To change the world around us, we need to do something that can be very uncomfortable for all of us. And that uncomfortable thing is change. That sometimes it's hard to change. Sometimes it's hard to break some habits. Come on, somebody. But I believe with the power of God that you can break any habit that you might have in your life. Change can be intimidating. It can be challenging. By the very nature, change means to become different or to make different. So, but if we talk, if we walk, if we act like everybody else in the world, what good are we doing? What influence do we have? What impact do we have on the kingdom of God? Why would people be attracted to us if we're living just the same way they are living? So here's the deal. If we are going to help change people's destiny, we need to see personal change as our duty. Let me say that again. If we're going to help change people's destiny, an eternal destiny, we need to see personal change as our, that we have to change, y'all. That we cannot stay the same. It's not good for you to say, I'm a born again believer, but nothing in my life, I'm the same yesterday, I'm the same as I was 10, 15, 20 years ago as I am today. No, you got to change. So Peter, that he writes to believers who are scattered throughout Judea. And so in the ancient world, they were under intense pressure and persecution. And Peter knew something about persecution, that Peter had been beaten and threatened and punished. He had been jailed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knew what it took to endure without bitterness and without losing hope and in great faith, living an obedient and victorious life to God. The ability to live in obedience to Christ and maintain a victorious lifestyle is a struggle for many people. It's not just because you're doing something bad. But sometimes it's just the struggles that come with living this life, that life has a way of taking a turn on you. The people that pledge their love to you walk out on you. That the companies that said, I'm going to give you a job, you're going to have, and they shut you down, they shut you out, they hand you your pink slip. Yeah. That you think you have a good bill of health, that listen, all of your vitals, all of your labs, they showed real good, but you show up at the doctor and they tell you you got cancer. So how do we continue to live this victorious life with our heads high and believing that God is able to do anything but fail? But we battle in the flesh, we battle in the spirit. Sometimes we get weak and we wobble, and sometimes we vacillate between this world's kingdom and God's kingdom. It is important, I said this last week, that we not stand between the two worlds, because you can't say that you love God, but you're hanging on to the world and have both of them. That at some point you have to have a made up mind that, listen, I'm following Jesus and him alone. I'm talking to the young folk in the house today. Holler at me. That I know what it feels like. I once was young, but now I'm old. Yeah, preacher, yeah, you old. But let Pops talk to you now. Pop, I know the pressure. I know the pull. I know what it feels like. Come on, some of y'all that once were young, you know what it feels like. That it's nothing new. It's not a new thing. But somehow in our mind, we have to have a made-up mind. Listen, we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to run hard for him and nobody else. So that means we got to let some folk go. We got to let some things go. As followers of Christ, we're a new creation, born from above, changed from within, with values and lifestyle and a counterculture to the world in which we live. That our morals are not like the morals of the world, that we're called to be different. And so these changes need to be considered, because they'll have an effect not only on our lives, but on the lives of the people that are around us. That God has empowered you and me by his help to change the lives of people for all of eternity. And so we have to make our walk, the way we live, a priority. And so in the text for today, listen, I just want to lift up three changes that we need to make as children of God. If we're going to have an eternal impact on the world around us, here's some changes that we can focus on today. And here's the first. You have to have a change in your mind. You have to change your mind. Listen, Peter says in verse 11, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents, focus on that temporary residence and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. In this verse, we see him expressing love and care for his readers. He's warning them, or he's urging them to listen to his wise counsel. I know sometimes mom and dad, they get on your nerves, but listen, they've been down and through. They know some things. And they're telling you, you need to follow Jesus. You need to, because they've been down and they know some stuff. And so young people, they urge you and they warn you to follow after the ways of God. That's what Peter's doing. The word urge paints a picture of passionate pleading. What is being shared through the text, it's important for many reasons. But let me give you a couple of real big reasons why it's important. First, as Christians, we have to remember this, that we are temporary residents, that we're residing in strange houses. That's the implication of the text. We're temporary residents. Listen, that we are now living in strange houses and strange places, because this world is not our home. Anybody ever been to a hotel? It's a nice hotel. I mean, you love it. They got, you know, the wait staff is nice. The room is nice. You know, it's plush. You know, they got the sleep number beds in it. You know, it's real nice. But I can only speak for me. Been in some nice hotels, but at some time I'm ready to go home. We're just in the house. I don't care how nice it is. It's nice and plush, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 days. But at some point, I want to go home.
I want to go home to my own bed, to my own familiar surroundings. And that's what Peter's implying in the text, that listen, we are temporary residents. That we're foreigners in this world. That we changed from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. And so our heart's yearning should be for the things of God, for eternal things. That Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz, she had it right. There's no place like home. That we are citizens of heaven. It's the first thing. Secondly, to say that we are foreigners is to say that we are, there's a word, exiles. And some of your Bibles read that. This implies that we are visitors who tarry for a time in a foreign country, but we will shortly be traveling to our homeland. So since we currently reside in the temporary, why would we become preoccupied with this world? Let me say this again. Since where we currently reside is temporary, why would we become preoccupied with where we are right now? As we await a permanent change of address, what we need is a permanent change of mind to thrive and to walk and to live in this world in the way that pleases God. Colossians says, set your sights on things which are above, not which things are below. Because the things that are above, they are eternal things. The things that are below, they are perishing. They are temporary. They are changing. Then we have to have a different mindset. We got to live down here right now. This world is not our home. We're on our way up there. And so God is expecting you and me. While we're living down here, we have to have a different mindset. We have to change our minds. Romans 2:12-2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, changing your mind. Amen. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so the way to keep from being conformed to this world is to have our minds transformed, to have them changed. But how many in the house can say today, listen, I'm working on transforming this mind. That listen, no matter how you try to live with this outward kind of behavior, it looks good on the outside. But what really matters is it's got to start with an inward change. It's what's in your mind. It's what's in your heart. Listen, we are in the battle of our lives, y'all. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know where strongholds are formed? In your mind. In your heart. In the center of your will. And so you're in the battle of your life. But the devil, say, he wants your mind. As long as he's got your mind, the rest will follow. I think in Vogue, somebody had a song similar to that. Free your mind and the rest will follow. Don't free your mind to the devil. Free your mind to God so that your life and your lifestyle will follow after the ways of God. So in our text, Peter warns or urges us to keep away from the worldly desires that wage war against our souls. Peter is saying, in essence, don't show any hospitality with such desires. Seek a place to stay. Lord, have mercy. That we're called to constantly hold and keep away from different things in our lives. And here's the truth. Been there, done that. That sometimes we show too much hospitality to things that are hostile to the Word of God. That we're too friendly with things that we don't need to be friendly with.
Yeah.
That we cozy up to stuff that we don't need to cozy up to. That we're not to show any hospitality to these kinds of things that wage war with our souls. And so we have to, Peter goes on in verse 12, say, be careful to live properly among unbelieving neighbors. Let me go back and say, listen, then he says, they won't accuse you of doing wrong. They will see you have honorable behavior. When we talk about cozying up to stuff, we have to realize some things. Listen, what better way to say it? If you know that a snake is poisonous and it will bite you, would you get close to it? And the same way with sin. That somehow, I think sometimes in our minds, we believe that we can play with stuff and we won't get burned. Can we take fire in our bosoms and not be burned from it?
That there's some relationships that maybe you're dealing with, and listen, you're cozying up too close to that relationship. You need to let it go. There are some things in your life that you're just comfortable with it. You're sitting in it and you're thinking it's all, and it's not. And sometimes we think because God didn't hit us with a bolt of lightning, God must be okay with it. God ain't winking at that. What? I should have started with saying, everybody give me a good amen, because they ain't going to get a lot of them today. But as we started out this year, y'all, God was speaking to me. God, I want to come out the gate talking about, God, how you going to bless them, and God, how they going to thrive as they survive. And God said, shut up. Hold, let me tell you what I'm trying to say to you. That it's time out for playing with me. It's time for people to have me as a priority of their lives. To seek the kingdom and the kingdom first and foremost. More than your success, more than your titles, more than your bank account, to seek me. So where was I, y'all? Amen. So Peter's saying that in addition to changing your mind, y'all, listen, also you have to change your behavior. Yeah. That we're called to live amongst believers in honorable ways. This boils down to having conduct that reflects the fact that we are Christians. The problem comes when we try to behave a certain way without changing our minds. This is what Jesus talks about when he talks to the Pharisees. He said, you're like whitewashed tombs, that you look good on the outside. Oh, the outfit looks good. The hat looks good. Them shoes slamming. Girl, where you get those shoes from? And that we look good on the outside. Yeah, the Stacys look good, y'all. But what's on the inside? Jesus referred to them as whitewashed tombs. He said, you look good on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. That we have to change our behavior by changing what's on the inside of us. To live, he says, live properly or honorably. It means not only good, but lovely and attractive and pleasant. So it's like this. So when you go to a job interview, to live honorably, lovely, you want to be attractive. You don't go into the interview looking like a mud duck. You're gonna wear some decent clothes. That you want your resume to look attractive, and we don't dare lie on an interview, do we? That we want to be attractive because we want to get the job. And I said this a couple of weeks ago. Listen. When I was dating Sister Jackie. You know, she made sure she had it together. She didn't come to my grandmother's store with, you know, rollers in her head, you know, with crust around her mouth, you know, with it. Then she came in there looking good. Because she wanted to look lovely and attractive for me. There has to be behavioral changes, but it has to start with what's in our heart. No, it's been said that the best argument for Christianity is real Christians, but on the other side, the worst argument for Christianity can also be Christians. That we're all advertisements for Jesus. Let me ask you, does your billboard represent the kingdom of God well? Or are you guilty of false advertisement? It would be better to just take the billboard down. Okay. Do people want to buy the Jesus that you represent? We're to hold on and exemplify attractive lifestyles as temporary residents awaiting our permanent residence to fight against fleshly desires that come from this world. That we're called to be salt and to be light. Yeah, y'all ever met any Christians with bad behavior? Don't look around, look at me. Christians with a bad behavior. They'll say they're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy, but they just got a nasty disposition. A bad, look at me, don't look around now. That we're called to have a changed behavior, a changed way of being, a changed attitude. Let's face it, many people in the world aren't world already don't believe, you know, what we believe. that they accuse us of being fake and phony. They accuse us of just wanting money. They accuse us of being judgmental fanatics and all of that stuff. But Peter urges us to live properly or honorably with changed behavior so that when they see us, when our haters see us and they accuse us, but they look at the way we live, they say, well, wait a minute now. I said all that stuff about them, but look like they're loving right and they treating people right. And it will draw them into where we are. Perhaps it will draw them in. The best way to change the mind of our skeptics and our haters is by showing full proof of our relationship with Jesus Christ and maintaining a lifestyle and a way of being and our behavior that represents him well. So too many of us are spending our time, y'all, trying to live like the Joneses rather than living like Jesus. Too many are trying to live a chameleon lifestyle. Y'all know the chameleon, the lizard, that it changes its colors based upon the environment. You place it in grass and it turns green. You place it on the earth and it turns brown. And I'm afraid there are some of us that, listen, God did not call us to chameleonity, but to Christianity. Did you hear me? To look more like him and not like the world. And so something we can come in, y'all, and we can look like church, y'all. We can talk church. We can be churchy as ever. We can talk the church language, y'all. We can pray the church prayers, y'all. We can clap our hands. We can lift our hands, and we go back, and the chameleon comes out. Wasn't going to get many amens today. But here's the deal. We're almost done, y'all. Listen, we gotta do a baptism, y'all. So lastly, if we change our minds and our behavior with God's help, here's where the rubber meets the road. That we can change their world. That's when we can do it. People that are lost, people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, we change their world when we have a mind change and a behavior change, but you got to choose to do it. We change their world. Peter says the way unbelievers are led to give honor to God, who will judge the world, God will judge the world, is when we show up in the world living honorably for people. And sometimes it's just necessary to leave some things behind. Sometimes you have to leave some people behind if you're going to lead them to Jesus. When the world sees we are not hypocrites, they will quit accusing us of being one. When they see the church caring and loving people the way Jesus loved people, perhaps it will draw them in. Real faith exhibited in the world will win some souls to Jesus. I believe there are people that want to believe. That they're looking at the church and they want something different. They want something different from the world. But the fact is, are we showing them something different? Yeah. And so here's the implied progression of this text, and I'm really done it. What is it really saying to us? These are implications, you know. So as preachers and teachers of the gospel, when we look at the text, we're trying to strain and see what was really going on at the time and what's really being said in the text. So here are the implications of the progression of this text. That the lost people were slandering the Christians as evildoers. That the good deeds of Christians would prove their accusations to be untrue. The good lives and hearts of the Christians would convict the lost of their sins and slander along with many other things. Finally, the lost people would see in that world then that those that were scattered abroad, that these are real people, that they talk about Christ, they love Christ and they love us, and it will draw them into him. And that's the progression of our lives, that we were once lost, but now we're saved and we're living lives that please him. And our hope is that people will see the life and the lifestyle that we live, and it will draw them in. Living out our lives where our walk remains a main priority is so important. It's where the rubber meets the road, y'all. Let me close with this. And I hope after today's sermon that you let it marinate, that you let it sink into your heart and ask yourself the question, is my walk the priority of my life? If I say that I love Jesus more than anything, is it really the priority of my life, or am I just blowing smoke? Am I just talking words? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul encourages us in our walk in saying, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So many years there was a tagline, an advertisement, a marketing jingle. Some of y'all remember it. Is it Live or is it Memorex? That saying became popular in the 1980s by a company called Memorex. Some of y'all remember Memorex. It was founded in 1961. So this marketing slogan was used to describe the very real audio quality of their cassette tapes. Now, let me go. We've got some millennials in the house and beyond. That y'all need to Google a cassette tape. That it came after 8-tracks and, you know, and y'all know CDs and stuff today. And so y'all go to the internet and search it. Y'all, we played them on what we call boom boxes. Come on the house today. So I'm saying for real, though, y'all go and Google so y'all can see what a cassette tape in a boom box really is. And so in essence, the listener was to believe that the recorded sound was exactly the same as the original. Later, this marketing jingle became an iconic expression in American pop culture and daily casual conversation to indicate that one is not sure if something is real or is it fake. Is it not real? I think there are people in the world that are sick and tired. Yeah. Politicians that say they're going to do one thing, but they don't do anything because they're fake. There are people in this world are tired of television commercials that tout certain things about how it can help you, how it can help your health, how it can help you mentally, and it's just all fake. I believe we live in a world where people are sick and tired of fake relationships, where people just aren't authentic and real, but that people are sick and tired of that, that they're looking for the real, that people are suspect of many things. But when it comes to how we live for God and how we relate to others, especially unbelievers, we should strive like Coca-Cola to be the real thing. And while we may not be the original, that we should walk like and talk like Jesus, that he is the original. And I believe in this day and age that he's looking for some copies of him. Yeah. That those that would imitate him, those that would walk like him, those that would talk like him. And our prayer ought to be, Lord, holiness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I long for. It's what I need. And it's what I want for me. So God, take my heart and mold it. Take my mind and transform it. Take my will, God, and transform it into yours. Change my mind. Change my walk, Lord. Change my talk. Change my behavior. Change my mind, Lord God, so I look like you more and more and more each and every day. Where are the worshipers and the praisers in the house today? You want God to change you from the inside out. I want to walk more like Jesus, talk more like Jesus, be more like Jesus. But at the end of the day, it's your decision. It's a choice. But what do you choose today in your walk with your life and with your lifestyle? Do you choose the kingdom of this world, Satan, and what he has to offer? Or will you choose the kingdom of God? That this world is not our home. We are temporary residents right now. But is it be true? Can it be said true that your life and your lifestyle, in your life and lifestyle, that your highest priority walk and be like Jesus? Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we thank you for this word today. May it penetrate our hearts, our minds, that we would consider the priority of our walk. That far too long, we made choices to live lives that don't please you in some area of our life. Help us in this moment, Lord God, to consider those areas that don't represent you well. And whether people are looking or not, you see everything. God, that you know our very hearts. You know our motivation. So God, change us from the inside out by the power of your Spirit. Change us until we look more like you. Change us so that we can change, help change the world around us. God, we pray right now for that person that may not know you in the pardon of their sins, that you'd speak to their hearts right now. May they realize how much you love them, oh God. Draw them by your Spirit, by your power, so that they can live changed lives. God, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. You gave Jesus for us, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for salvation. But by your Spirit, draw those that don't know you in this very moment. This is our prayer. That we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We repent. We turn from our sins and we turn to you. We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. We believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead. And your word says that saves us, that settles it. And from there on, we walk it out, oh God. We walk it out. We live it out. God, with your sanctifying process, we become more like you. And we thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.